Number one, good evening, everyone. Number one, number 180, 180, last mile of the way. Okay. You want to pick another one? We can. Okay. Okay. Sounds good. If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty. When I've gone the last mile of the way, when I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. If for Christ I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for a sheep gone astray, I am sure he will show me his glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Here the dearest of ties we must sever. Tears of sorrow are seen every day. But no sickness, no sighing forever when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. And if here I have earnestly striven and have tried all his will to obey, 'twill enhance all the rapture of heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. That's a beautiful song. Amen. Amen. The words mean a lot. Yes, sir. Number one. What is number one in this one? I think that's the only number he can count to is one. Arlen, you know two?
Okay, we'll
make two. No, we'll sing number one. We'll sing number one. That's the one you chose. Yeah, we're listening at you. fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Amen. Amen. Anybody else have a favorite or something you want to sing? 209. Onward, Christian soldiers. They have that one in the other book. We're trying to get some.
152.
we'll sing 209, but then we'll sing 152 after that. Amen. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, on one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell can never the church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, which can never fail. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with us your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Amen. 152. It's been a while since I've sung it too. I have to, I'm thinking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, he would have told me so. He has gone away to live in that bright city. He's preparing me a mansion there, I know. Do not shun the Savior's love from up in glory, or you won't be there to sing the gospel story. In my Father's house are many mansions. If you're true to in this land, you'll surely go. Okay. Jesus died upon the cross to bear my sorrow. Freely died that soul like you might have new life. But I know there soon will come a bright tomorrow, when the world will all be free from sin and strife. Do not shun the Savior's love from up in glory, or you won't be there to sing the gospel story. In my Father's house are many mansions. If you're true, then to this land you'll surely go. When your friends have turned you down and left you lonely, in this world you're all alone and oh so blue. Turn your thoughts away from sin to Jesus only. A new life and friendship sweet he'll give to you. Do not shun the Savior's love from up in glory, or you won't be there to sing the gospel story. In my Father's house are many mansions. If you're true, then to this land you surely go. Amen. Yes. 259. Amen. Yes. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand, he leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith begin to waver, when up ahead I see a chasm wide. It's then I turn and look up to my Savior. I am strong when he is by my side. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God no matter come what may, for life eternal is in his hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to that promised land. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until that day the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. One more and we'll have our offering. Would you come, Brother Roger, after this next song? What is Mansion number what? 45. I'm satisfied with just the cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow of stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion. stretch in my arm. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor, deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of that city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as gold. Amen.
She did a good job. Amen. It's been a good day. I appreciated the Brown family being with us today and the desire that they have to serve the Lord. They make us some good missionaries. You know, some of these guys in the service now, they know about this. I don't know what's happening to our country. I was in the military service back during World War II, but I can't talk much about it because I didn't go to any services. In fact, I don't even remember them having services. We had a chaplain, but you know, back then being a chaplain was associated with a crying towel. If you got a Dear John letter, you went to see the chaplain, you know, things like that. Not too many of them. I never met a one during the time I was in there that talked about Jesus or anything like that. Yeah. And now then, next Sunday? I come to church an hour. Uh, I come to church an hour later. Really? That's a good idea. Anyway, glad you're here tonight. Hope you got your Bible with you. I'm going to be giving a lot of scriptures here. And we're going to talk about the judgment seat. My text, main text, is going to be in Hebrews 9:27. I want you to know that what I'm going to say tonight is based on scriptures. If I don't have a scripture to back it up, I won't say it. I want you to think about these words that the Lord tells us. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed. Now we know what an appointment is, don't we? That's when we call up the doctor's office and they tell us to be in at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and we try to be there on time. That's what we call an appointment. It's appointed unto men once to die. Death is an appointment. You and I don't know what time that appointment is. It can come suddenly. And God says, this is your time. It's an appointment that we must and we shall keep. But after this, the judgment. Now we know that we're all going to die sooner or later if the rapture doesn't take place first. But then there's a judgment after this. Romans 14:10 says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All. Romans 14:12. Every one of us. No exceptions in that. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, I used to think that I was going to give an account for you. And I thought, boy, that's going to be fun. I'm going to tell him all about you. But this seems to say that I'm going to give an account of me. Each one of us tells on ourselves, not on somebody else. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all, here's that word all again, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he enlarges on it here and tells us why, that everyone, that's everyone, that's all, isn't it? Everyone may what? Receive. We appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive. What are we going to receive? The things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now these are simple words. We need to understand them. One more. Revelation 22, verse 12. This is the words of Christ. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. Now seriously, think about this. When's the last time that you gave serious thought and consideration about appearing before God for judgment? Do you go around during the day and say, oh boy, as soon as I die, I'm going to the judgment? We associate bad things with judgment. Maybe the Lord should have invented a new word for that, because it does sound kind of bad. But you know, most all of us forget about the judgment seat of Christ. When's the last time you seriously thought about it? It's easily overlooked. And the reason for it is, when somebody dies, like we've had the past two Saturdays, we've had memorial service for Georgia and for Leonard, we think about other things. We get all shook up and excited about the first resurrection, for instance. What a glorious day when the trump of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall be raised from the dead. What a day that will be. And then associated with that, oh, the rapture. If I'm still alive, I'll be taken up without dying, just like Enoch was, just like Elijah was. We think about that rapture when we are caught up to meet those who have participated in the first resurrection, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. I don't know about you, but that's what I think about when I think about Jesus coming. I think about resurrection and reunion. Oh, I think about the pearly gates. I think about the mansions. I think about the walls of jasper and the streets of gold. And I think about all of the things that are going to follow, that when we get to heaven, we shall see Christ as he is. And we shall be reunited with all of our loved ones who've gone on before. All of this personal stuff. We wonder, what kind of body will we have? What will we eat? Somebody asked me the other day, well, what are we going to eat when we get to heaven? Already concerned about the menu, you know. I said, we're going to have fruit from the tree of life that grows alongside the river of water of life in heaven. We get concerned about what we're going to wear. What was it, last Sunday or Sunday before, I preached about what we're going to wear when we get to heaven. What are we going to do with all of the time on our hands? Because remember, there's not going to be any night there. We get concerned about the personal things. But that's all right. But the Bible says, after death, the judgment. And there's a little quiver of fear that comes with that word judgment. And that's too bad. Because when we hear that word judgment, we ought to jump for joy at the thought of judgment. Who doesn't like payday? That's what judgment is. It's payday. I used to like payday. I still like paydays. But there's a bigger payday coming. You know, you can't take it with you, they say. No matter how much money you accumulate here, you can't take it with you. Why? Because, hey, you're going to a place where gold is used like asphalt to pave the streets. You're going to go to a place where there's silver and precious stones and all of this all around the place. We read about Solomon. In Solomon's day, he made silver as gravel in the streets. Who would stop to pick up a piece of gravel? Listen. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will get our rewards for everything that we have done all of our lives at one time. There's just one payday. Down here, if you get paid once a week, sometimes twice every 2 weeks, sometimes once a month, we'll get payday all at one time when we get to heaven. Rewards are not gifts. Rewards are like wages. It's something that you earn. You know, today, you may be working on God's payroll at minimum wage. You ever stop to think about that? A lot of people that are working at minimum wage when they could be a high salaried big shot. You don't have to do anything to get saved except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No works involved. But when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that's where all of your works come in. That's a works judgment. You have to do something to get a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what it's about. Every prayer that you've prayed, every verse of scripture that you read in the Bible, every time you go to church, every time that you talk to people about Jesus, even if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a prophet, you'll get a reward for it. Over a lifetime, it all adds up. So let's look at some points here. Who will be judged? Why will they be judged? In other words, what's the purpose of the judgment? What will be the results of the judgment? And we'll spend a few minutes directing our minds to something worthwhile and useful and informative and really seriously important. Now the who, we've already mentioned that. The who is going to appear is everybody. All of the saved and only the saved will appear at the judgment seat of Christ. 1,000 years later, the dead in hell, the souls in everlasting torment, will be raised to stand before the great white throne judgment of God. But all are going to face judgment at one time or another. No exceptions, no excuses. If you have a headache, you're just going to have to bring it with you. That's all there is to it. It's an appointment that we all must keep. Now, this judgment, and I want to pound this in, is not an option like going to church on Sunday. You can go to church, you can stay at home. But when it comes to judgment, there's no option. Everybody's going to be there. You can't sleep late and miss it and avoid it that way. And if your favorite aunt comes to see you, you can't say, well, I've got to stay at home and entertain my company, because it's an appointment we have to take. By the way, I mentioned a little while ago, you'd better get caught up on your sleep, because there's no night in heaven. Better enjoy the blackness of night, because when you get to heaven, it's going to be daytime all the time. It never gets dark, so you won't be doing much sleeping. In fact, come to think of it, I don't know. I'm going to ask Sam to look this up. I don't know of any place in the Bible where it talks about anybody sleeping in heaven. Do you know of any? I can't think of any. I don't think we're going there to sleep, really. Sun never goes down. Now, there's resting in heaven. There's going to be a lot of rest. It's a place of rest. And while you're resting, you may doze off a little bit, take a short nap. Who knows? One other thing I want to say about the judgment seat of Christ. There will be no sin at this judgment. Now, there will be good works and there will be bad works. He said whether good or bad, didn't he? We read that. But there's no sin there. It's not at all about sin. If you are saved, you're going to be there. And if you're saved, you know nobody but the saved are going to be there. That means that all of your sins are already dealt with. They've already been forgiven, taken away, covered by the blood of Jesus, blotted out, eliminated, forgotten, buried in the deepest sea, never to be remembered against us anymore. No sin. This judgment has nothing to do with what you're doing, what you've done, or what you're going to do in the future, insofar as your soul's salvation is concerned. Works have nothing to do with salvation. This judgment is wholly and solely about rewards. Now, a lot of people have the idea, and I don't know where they get it. They sure don't get it from the Bible. But God does not take the good things that you've done and put them on one side of the scale and all of the bad things that you've done and put them on the other side of the scale. He doesn't do that. A lot of people think that if your good ones outweigh the bad ones, then God's going to say, come on in through these pearly gates and enjoy the pleasures of heaven. But if your bad ones outweigh your good ones, you're in trouble. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. They get shut out of heaven. But listen, if you weren't saved, you wouldn't even be there at the judgment seat of Christ to start with. That's for Christians. Think about it. Let your imagination work. There's a big fiery furnace over there that's heated 7 times hot like Nebuchadnezzar's was when he threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there. The only thing is, God is going to take all of your works, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, the wood, the hay, the stubble, and he's going to throw all of these into that burning fiery furnace. And he's going to look at his watch and he's going to leave them in there for a little while. Then he's going to say, okay, angels, shut them down. He'll shut it down and he'll get in there and rake around and see what he can find left. All the wood, the hay, the stubble is going to be gone, isn't it? But the gold and the silver and the precious stones are purified by the fire. They won't burn up. They won't be consumed. What's the Bible say? 1 Corinthians 3, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, that means it comes through the fire and isn't consumed, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, consumed in the furnace, he shall suffer loss. In other words, he won't have anything to be rewarded for. But don't stop there. Read the rest of that verse, and it says, but he himself will be saved. Because this is not a salvation thing. This is a rewards judgment. Now, in my study of the scriptures, I've determined that at the judgment, there's going to be 3 things that'll happen. If somebody knows of more than that, you share it with me. If you have earned any crowns will be a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. You've done anything that's worthy of a... Can you think of anything? Right offhand, what have you done that's worthy of a crown? If you were to judge yourself, there are 5 of them mentioned in the Bible. You might like to read about these. I'll give you the scriptures. First of all, there is the incorruptible crown in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. And the incorruptible crown will be given to those who faithfully run the course. You're faithful to the Lord. Second, the crown of rejoicing. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 19 and 20. The crown of rejoicing is for those who have testified and witnessed to others who have told them about Jesus and have won them to faith in Christ. It's sort of a soul winner's crown. Crown of rejoicing. Third one is the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. The crown of righteousness, when you read about that, is for those who have, like Paul, fought a good fight. They've kept the faith. They have finished their course. And they love his appearing. Crown of righteousness. Number four, a crown of life. This is for those who endure temptation. And by temptation, I'm talking about testing. When a Muslim gets you by the throat and holds a knife there, and he says, "I'm going to cut your throat if you don't deny and deny Christ and renounce your faith in him." And if you say cut away and he cuts your throat, to die is gain. You go into the presence of God. And he goes to hell because of what he did to you. Faithful unto death. Those who suffer persecution for Christ. And believe you me, we've got a lot of people in the world today who are suffering for their faith in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that God saw fit to have me born and raised at the time that he did here in the United States of America. I'd rather be here than in China. I'd rather be here than in West Africa. I'd rather be here than in Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan or any of those places over there. It's a dangerous place to be if you're a Christian. But those who love the Lord and those who are faithful unto death shall receive a crown of life at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the scripture for that, you got two of them. James 1:12. Revelation 2, verse 10. Listen at that. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Makes sense, doesn't it? Then, the fifth one is a crown of glory. The crown of glory is for those who feed and nurture the sheep and the lambs of Christ's flock. That might include pastors and preachers, Sunday school teachers, evangelists, missionaries, church planters, people who are working and serving the Lord. The scripture is John chapter 21, verse 16. This is one that I want you to notice. After his resurrection, Jesus said to Simon Peter one day, he said to him, "Simon, lovest thou me?" "Yea, Lord," he answered, "thou knowest that I love thee." "Feed my sheep." Peter thought about it for a little while, and directly Jesus asked him again, "Simon, do you love me?" And he did the same thing three times. Well, Simon Peter must have had a pretty thick head. But it finally soaked through. And then one day he sat down with pen in hand, and here's what he wrote over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. He says in his letter, and it's, of course it's to us, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you. That's what Jesus had told him to do three times. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, the chief shepherd is Jesus, when he shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So there's five crowns that we can contend for. Then, secondly, when Jesus comes again at the resurrection and the rapture, takes us to heaven, before he comes back to this earth again, there's going to be a marriage supper. There's going to be a big wedding banquet. The wedding of the Lamb. When he and his church get hitched. You sure don't want to miss that. See, we're just engaged now. The wedding is yet to come. By the way, the first miracle that Jesus performed, remember that? A wedding in Cana of Galilee, where he turned the water into wine, did his first miracle. And I personally don't think it was two guys or even two gals that were getting married at that wedding. That's just my opinion. The Bible doesn't say. Okay. I got that in there. Now the mayor will want a copy of my sermon. I love weddings. During the several years of my ministry, I've united an awful lot of couples in the bonds of holy matrimony. And I'll tell you this, a woman never looks better than she does when she's dressed in her wedding gown. And she walks through those doors and down this aisle here on the arm of her father. Got that little flower girl in front of her throwing out the rose petals. That's such a beautiful ceremony, isn't it? And then the groom steps out here and meets her about the second pew there. And the father releases her and gives her away. And they come and stand here. And I say, will you? And they say, yes. I pronounce you husband and wife. That's wonderful, I'll tell you. At the wedding. I think that perhaps our position at the table in the banquet hall of heaven is going to be determined by our works, and perhaps at the judgment seat of Christ. And I base that on this. Luke, Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verses 8 through 11, when thou art bidden, that means invited, of any man to a wedding, not a birthday party, but a wedding, sit not down in the highest room. In other words, you walk into this banqueting hall and and here's a big table up here at the in a prominent place for the bride and the groom and the best man and the maid of honor and all of the people in the wedding party, you know, to sit. And right in front of them over here is a table right close to them. And when you go waltzing in there, don't go in there and sit down right there in front of the main table. This is what Jesus is saying. He's going to tell us to go down to the lower room. Listen at it. Sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that made thee, that's the guy in charge, thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place. And you have to get up and give it to him because he's more honorable than you are. And what do? And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. And when he that bade thee cometh, he may say to thee, friend, go up higher. Wonderful word. No shame in that, is there? Go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Friday night a week ago, I think it was, Sam came to the house, he and Abel, and we were in Sam's car, and we went over into San Diego to the servicemen's center that were having a banquet over there in a facility there in San Diego. And we went in. I'm with Sam, you know, he's the honorable one around us. Me and Ava, we're just tagging along. I didn't know it at the time. They set us down at table number 9, and I don't think they had but about 10. See what I mean? Oh, we sat there. It was all right. We could see and hear what was going on, such as this. But then they started the feed. Somebody got up there on the microphone and said, all right, now all of you people in table 1, go over here and get your food. And after they got theirs, they got the cream of the crop, you know, right off the top. All right, those at table number 2, go get your food. And all of those people at table number 2 went and got their food. And so it went throughout the evening. Table number 3, table number 4, table number... Finally, they got to table number 9, but when we got up there, all the good food was gone and there wasn't nothing there but scraps. All the spoons and knives and forks were gone. We had to eat off a paper plate with plastic utensils. Now, I'm stretching a little bit, aren't I, Sam? But anyway, I'm trying to make a point. Did I make the point? All right, I'll move on to something else. Jesus has promised us throughout the New Testament, it's also in the Old, that when he comes and establishes his kingdom, we shall rule and reign with him. We're going to be his kings and priests for 1,000 years. the temple. You see a picture of it down yonder in the dining hall. The temple will be rebuilt at that time. Oh, what a time that's going to be when Jesus comes back, because the Bible says in Ezekiel, says the glory. Think of this. Visualize the temple now. It's facing east. And the Bible says the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, came from that direction, headed west, right toward the temple. And his voice was like the noise of many waters. The earth shined with his glory, and the glory of the Lord came into the house, that is, into the temple itself, by the way of the gate whose prospect is toward the east, came through the eastern gate. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, when you see that picture, visualize this. Behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. All of the nations of the earth by that time will have been judged, according to Matthew 25, verses 31 through 34, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Zechariah says the Lord shall be king over all the earth. David will rule all Israel. We know that. The 12 apostles will rule the 12 tribes of Israel that compose the nation of Israel. 2 Timothy 2:12, we shall also reign with him. Revelation 5:10, we shall reign on the earth. 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Revelation 20, verse 4, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, Jesus is not going to make you president of these United States if you haven't proven your faithfulness to him. He ain't dumb. Our present administration has appointed some incompetent, unqualified people to important positions simply because of the size of their political contributions and not because of any knowledge or expertise that they may have in the field to which they are appointed. That's my political statement of the day. Not so with God. Gene thinks he's going to be such a big shot when he gets to heaven, but I'll tell you what, he's going to be lucky if God puts him on the janitorial staff and has him cleaning toilets and mopping floors or washing dishes in the kitchen. Amen. There you go. Hey, you feel that you're qualified to run this country? You don't compare yourself with anybody else. Just answer the question. Do you feel qualified to be president of the United States? I don't. I'd hate to have that responsibility for 1,000 years. My goodness alive. Let somebody else have it. After a week. I want to read you some more scriptures and we'll go home. Psalm 46, verse 9. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. Billy Bull can't, she's the last of the Mohicans, and she can't take her bow and arrow and go out and shoot buffaloes anymore. God's going to break the... Gene's got a little Indian blood in him, too. He probably had some ancestors shooting buffaloes with bows and arrows. Yeah. God's going to break your bow. Sorry about that. He's going to cut the spear in sunder. He's going to burn the chariot in the fire. That's Psalm 46, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isaiah 65, 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Isaiah 11, 6 and 7. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones. They shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, God says. Here's something else to think about. The fertility of the soil during that time. Psalm 72:16. A Jew will take a handful of corn, shelled corn, and he'll go up here to the top of the mountain, and he will plant that handful of corn on top of that mountain. And the Bible says that that corn will grow up, the stalks will become like the cedars of Lebanon, and the fruit thereof shall feed an entire city. I like that. I've known that verse there ever since I was a kid out in the country planting corn. They of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. Truly the best is yet to come. Thank you for listening. See, I ran overtime. Preacher this morning did too. See. But I had to make up for this morning because I didn't get to preach. Think about the judgment. Every reward we get come from God. Then I like that scripture in Revelation about those who take the crowns that they've earned and they lay them at the feet of Jesus. Heaven is going to be so much more wonderful than we could even ask or think. I feel like when I preach a sermon like this, I've just scratched the surface of the reality of that beautiful place God has gone to prepare for us. Let's stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Pat Patterson, will you dismiss our service in prayer, please? Amen. May the Lord bless you real good.